This program is brought to you by Haymarket Books as part of the Socialism 2024 program. You can hear more recordings from the conference by subscribing to the Socialism Conference podcast feed. Many video recordings are also available at socialismconference.org. If you enjoy these recordings, you should join us at Socialism 2025, which will be held in Chicago next summer, July 3rd through the 6th, 2025. If you are ready to put ideas into action and get organized with others from across the country and the world, make a plan with your organization and your friends to come to the Socialism Conference.
Okay, we're going to get started. Welcome everybody. My name is Miles. I work for Haymarket Books. Welcome to this talk on capitalism's new attacks on public education. We're here with Lois Weiner and Sarah Rothschild. We'll hear opening remarks from our speakers, and then we will be opening it up to the floor. We ask people to raise your hands when you want to speak, and I will be kind of forming a line of who gets to ask their question or make their comment. We ask for those to be relatively brief. We're going to start with like 3 minutes for each of those, and then we'll come back at the end for discussion again or for closing remarks from our speakers. To introduce our speakers briefly, Lois Weiner is a former career teacher and educator and lifelong socialist, and is the author of The Future of Our Schools, Teachers' Unions and Social Justice, along with many other articles. And Sarah Rothschild is education policy analyst at the Chicago Teachers' Union. Okay, and I'm going to hand over to you.
Everybody here? I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank Carlos Enriquez and the committee reviewing proposals for their important corrective to the way we framed our session. And I want to thank Miles for chairing. I'll be speaking for only part of my time now and adding the rest onto my closing. So I'm relying on you to provide thoughtful, provocative ideas and questions for my closing remarks. In today's session, I'm briefly addressing what we're missing in capitalism's attack on education. I apologize for reading my written remarks, but that's the only way I could squeeze in all the ideas I wanted to jumpstart our discussion. Most of what I discuss you'll find on my website, loisweiner.net. So first I want to discuss what's new and what's not. The GOP, Trump, and Trumpism pose a danger to education and democracy like none we've seen before in this country. We see an alliance between capital and far-right social conservatism, in particular white Christian nationalism. But this occurs alongside the older but intensified project of billionaires, investment banks, private equity, and venture capital to create the education system that they want. While individual Democrats have been persuaded to oppose neoliberal policies begun in the 1990s, the party itself has, like the GOP, welcomed many of these policies, especially public-private partnerships, which is the gateway to privatization. For several years, the big money in capitalism has been in data. In education, the gateway to data is standardized testing. Privatization has been occurring at a breathtaking speed through penetration of ed technology into what investors accurately describe as a national education market in the U.S. because we have a national curriculum, a de facto national curriculum, with software and platforms that configure teaching and learning. Harris's identification with Obama, seen in her interest in Rahm Emanuel, is a warning sign of the emergence of neoliberalism part two. Also ominous is a new, highly public presence of Democrats for Education Reform, DFER, DEFER. In Massachusetts, DEFER is bankrolling a campaign to defeat a measure that would curb standardized testing. DFIR's policies, we should understand, replicate exactly those of the American Enterprise Institute, a far-right think tank. In contrast, the GOP has harnessed its chariot to Trump, a racist, misogynist demagogue who fans Trumpism, a proto-fascist movement that aims to return the country to social conditions that existed pre-Reconstruction. I want to note that while the Democrats and the GOP are surely not the same, neither is our friend and neither can be relied on to save public education. The battle not yet joined by education activists is fighting the new behemoth of privatization, educational technology. Incalculable harm has occurred with the normalization of standardized tests to measure student learning as well as the content on which the tests are based. Standards that come from international finance organizations, standards used in every public school, standards embedded in software and platforms. Most teachers and parents today can't recall a time when standardized tests didn't control curriculum. And yet, parent and teacher voice in curriculum is an issue the right has exploited because our side has not made the case for democratic control of curriculum. We need to contrast our vision to the aims of wealthy elites who are quite public about their intention to control education and expand their profits. Now with AI. What then is our strategy? First, we need to face that electoral politics cannot turn back Trumpism and capital. One answer is the vibrant movement for social justice that emerged after Trump's election, drawing hundreds of thousands, mostly young people, to the streets. This radicalized new generation, in which I include the heroic movement to end Israel's murderous policies, has shown us why we must fight on social justice issues, home and internationally. We should categorically reject the idea that we can't fight the culture wars articulated in a book review in The Jacobin or on Palestine. This self-defeating strategy of limiting our struggle echoes the Democrats' wooing of white suburban women. Aligning ourselves with movements against social oppression is not only a moral imperative, it is one of our most potent strengths. Educators have already shown how their labor activism can change the political landscape. Social justice teachers' unions in cities have been organizing for years, successfully with community groups. And the idea that there's an impossible urban-rural divide was totally disproved by the red state walkouts. Another strategic issue is the internal division on the right between the GOP, wings of capital, Trump, and his followers. I hope people will raise that in the discussion. Whether under Trump or Harris, we will face governments bankrolled by capital that aim to undercut or destroy democracy and education. Fighting smart means understanding the new dangers and organizing on them. This struggle invariably requires democratizing our unions and demanding that they fight, using the full extent of our power, including the strike when needed, aligned with social movements, including other unions who will fight with us. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Lois. So I'm going to kind of contextualize Lois's political and philosophical overview with how it affects Chicago specifically and Illinois. So when the Federal Department of Ed was created under Reagan, and his first secretary, one of his first tasks was to come to Chicago and declare our school district an absolute failure. And this was after a lot of white flight, and there was a lot of turmoil going on in the 80s and, you know, all kinds of austerity measures. And the schools were overcrowded and underfunded severely. So in the 90s, we, well, I'm sorry, in the 80s, parents, to Lois's point, parents mobilized for 10 entire years to get what we call local school councils. We have a mayor-appointed board of education, not an elected board of education. We will have an elected board of education. Our very first election is in 2 months. That was a huge, huge fight. But the local school councils would be like the mini boards, and they get to actually approve the curriculum, approve the budget, evaluate the principal, and hire and fire the principal. Very revolutionary. When Mayor Daley, machine politician, his dad ran the city for decades, when he got into office, he pretended he cared about it, but immediately went down to Springfield, the state capitol, and reformed the state bill to pull away a lot of the powers that parents had won. And he hired his city hall business manager to be our CEO of the schools, Paul Ballas. He just lost the mayoral election last year. The first thing he did within this whole neoliberal Clinton pushed agenda of test, 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 he put 150 schools on probation immediately. Stripped them of their rights. The parents had no rights. The schools had no rights. And it just became this huge crackdown and punish, punish, punish. And so then going into the 2000s, testing is on steroids. That actually leads into like heavy teacher evaluation. We need, everybody has to be micromanaged. We need to be analyzing tests at all times. And if you're not a good teacher, we're going to fire you. So meanwhile, also, the social needs of our students are not being met, right? And the biggest predictor of test scores is socioeconomics. So this is why the suburbs do better on tests. Also, who writes the tests, right? I mean, these are also elite white people writing the tests, and it's all geared towards them. So teaching is becoming more and more untenable for teachers. There's huge pressures, enormous pressures, driving to huge teacher burnout. At the same time, we've got charter proliferation. This was all under, this started under Vallis and actually Bill Clinton. Vouchers had not taken off in Illinois at this time, but there was a big push for a really long time to get vouchers as well. But since the vouchers didn't pass, they turned it into our district into a portfolio district. And they wanted everyone, it was gonna be a big marketplace. And everyone was going to pick and choose the school that fit them best. We got the biggest military industrial education complex in the nation. We have 6 military high schools. They're now all severely under-enrolled, not very popular. And we have a JROTC program at almost every single high school. We had an explosion. Magnet schools were supposed to be for desegregation. We're the most segregated school district in the nation, kind of tying with Milwaukee. Magnets were supposed to be desegregation, but then that led into selective enrollment with these really well-funded, organized schools where all the resources were put in. And this further drained from our neighborhood schools. We've got the charters, we've got military schools. Everyone is running all around the city on the bus for 2 hours each way. Neighborhood schools are looking less and less attractive, serving the neediest kids with the least amount of resources because they also tied our tuition to student-based budgeting, which just completely depleted our schools with funding. And so it's just becoming impossible. So now we have a teacher shortage. I mean, the whole country is dealing with this too, but in the Chicago context. So the best way to deal with a teacher shortage is to, A, replace them with gig workers, which is Teach for America, these temp workers that only are supposed to work for 2 years, up and out, but they're the best and the brightest, so they can teach better than anybody who went to a teacher college because it's so easy, and it's no big deal. Well, it is a big deal, and it's really complicated. So education entrepreneurs come in with, simultaneous with this standardized testing, is the curriculum that teaches to the test. And then that morphs into scripted curriculum and a lot of online learning. So we can have gig teachers because they're just reading the script. We can have online learning. The teacher is just the tutor. They've got 45 kids in a classroom everything's fine. As long as the kids score on the test at the end of the year, it doesn't matter. Who cares what they're actually learning? Who cares what the post-secondary long-term outcomes are? You know, these are just the quick metrics that they want. And they realize through all this, ed entrepreneurs, especially, you know, Gates and then eventually Zuckerberg, that we can take this even further and create a whole bunch of apps that will both teach the kids quicker, better, and faster than a teacher ever could, and we can also track the kids, and we can use all that data to create even more products. And so the kids, just like we're clicking through, you know, Facebook, and we're producing the ads, our students and our teachers are now doing these for these companies. So now this is all on steroids. In the middle of the development of all this in CPS, we had a board member, mayor-appointed board member, and most of our board members until recently were just bankers and, you know, investors and old boy club kind of people. They weren't people with education backgrounds. This woman named Deborah Quazzo, who has this big investment firm, had about 10 of the companies that her company, 10 of the companies that she was investing in, she was able to use her power on the Board of Ed to steer those companies into CPS, millions and millions of dollars. These were all to close the achievement gap and keep the kids engaged. I mean, they had all these great ways of marketing and whatever. But the disgusting thing is the money that she was profiting off of. And so she was forced to step down because of ethics violations. But it's too late. The damage is done. Think Circa or Think Through Math and all these little products. They're already everywhere, like, because she brought them in. So simultaneously around that time, sorry, I just lost my train of thought. One sec, sorry. So we have the ed tech coming in. So also, the teachers union was able to push back hugely on the charter movement. We actually got it into our contract. So charters had exploded. Nobody was evaluating them. Everyone assumed they were high quality, which also relates to the tech products. Assuming they're high quality, no evaluation being done. Teachers are being evaluated to the point that they're quitting their jobs because it is so overwhelming. But no one's checking any of these companies. No one's checking the charters. We just assume they're high quality. So the woman who, she was very well connected in City Hall, and she ran this program called New Schools for Chicago. And it was this big rah-rah, come to our big school fair and learn all about the great charter schools. And all the money in Chicago went towards that. So philanthropy, who could have been helping our local schools, that could have been helping the nonprofits that work with the parents, all that money all got shifted to the shiny new schools and the shiny new buildings. That kind of fell out of favor. There's a moratorium on expansion. Also, charters realized that it's not that easy. So we, like 25, 30 charters have closed in the last 20 years in Chicago. So she left New Schools for Chicago to open Leap Innovations. And with education technology, they always have to fix a crisis. They're claiming that teachers have stagnated, we're against innovation, we're stuck in our ways, and they'll come in with the ed tech products that are going to revolutionize everything and get the test scores up. You know, that's always what it's about. So she got no bid contracts in Chicago to start experimenting on our students. And they would go through cohorts, and they would just try all these different products to see which ones worked. And then they would modify, and they'd take it back to the developers. Okay, let's try this, let's try this. And again, everyone assumed it was successful. Everyone assumed it was high quality. Nobody was verifying it. And now it's embedded in everything, and we're kind of at the point of no return. And meanwhile, our city is gentrifying like crazy. The wealthy in Chicago that are coming in, for the most part, are going to private schools. We've had an explosion of private schools. Most of those are classical, well-rounded. It's either the Waldorfs or it's the University of Chicago Lab where Obama sent his kids. So they know what good education is. They just don't want our kids to have it. Vouchers and charters were all about exclusion. The entire culture war with education has been about exclusion, going back 200 years. When the Protestants ran the schools way back when in the 1800s, they didn't want the Italian and Irish Catholic kids coming in. You know, it was always every fight we've had, every 10, 20 years, we make some improvements with social justice. You know, you have the civil rights education, you have American with Disabilities Act, and then there's a backlash. So it's all about privatization and keeping their kids out, or keeping our kids out of their public schools. And there is a dismantling that they want to do, which I'm a little confused about, and I hope Lois addresses too, because it's still going to exist, but I'm not sure who it's going to exist for. Like, the dismantling, to what extent, I'm not sure, because the suburbs still, people buy million-dollar homes because they want to go to the schools in the suburbs. So, you know, I think it's inner city dismantling, for sure. And then Texas, Arizona, Florida is a whole other behemoth. I mean, Illinois, we have the threats. We could easily go that way. We had a terrible governor for a long time, Rauner. He's big charter funder, all that kind of stuff. They fund the think tanks that attack us. They write a bunch of garbage all the time. That guy, Paul Vallis, that put all our schools on probation in the 90s, who ran for mayor, he is a policy consultant now for the Illinois Policy Institute. They put out total garbage, but they put it out enough that it gets picked up by right-wing media. It gets circulated around the country. My dad in Florida is reading headlines asking me, I'm like, and then I'm like, oh my God, you're reading IPI. You can't take anything they say seriously. They're not journalists. But Paul is so desperate to come back and attack us from the suburbs. He lives in Palos Hills, not in Chicago. Lied when he ran for mayor, got a fake apartment in my neighborhood, but he does not live in Chicago. But they are the very scary thing, and I don't know if there's a direct connection. I did really try to find it over the summer preparing for this. The right-wing ideology in Florida, Arizona, and Texas is brewing in Illinois. It is very, very small and slow, but we have Awake Illinois, we have Moms for Liberty, and we have this new group, Defending Education. They're funding right-wing politicians. They are very angry people. They're way out in the suburbs. They hate Chicago Teachers Union. Defending Education just released this vile report last week. It got like no circulation, and I don't even want to like talk about it publicly because I don't want to give it life. But it's basically attacking our sexual education curriculum that, first of all, is complying with state law. Like, the CTU did not create the sex ed policy. But of course they're calling it indoctrination. So and this is written by public health experts and all of these amazing organizations in Chicago. It's reviewed annually. They're constantly tweaking and updating it. But basically saying this is grooming, you know, they're against anything talking about gender neutral and pronouns. They are like obsessed that this is just going to, you know. So there's a couple groups, and then there's little book bans, mostly in the suburbs. We haven't had that too much in the city yet, but I know we need to stay on our toes. There has been some pushback against Black Lives Matters and another progressive curriculum we have, the Chicago Torture Curriculum. A lot of because of our segregation, we have like predominantly white communities and predominantly white schools on the periphery of the city. That's also where a lot of our cops live. And so they are, you know, railing against the teachers and the principals because they don't want any of this discussed in the school. But again, this is policy. This was an ordinance that was passed. I mean, they're attacking the wrong people in these attacks of theirs. So we simultaneously, we're pushing the teachers out. We're overburdening them. The CTU is fighting back really hard, saying we need the social supports and wraparound services and community partnerships. That's what we need in our schools. I'm not too worried about that at the moment, but they're chomping at the bits to get us. And then, like I said, they're trying desperately to come in with the right-wing culture wars. And I will leave it at that.
Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, subscribe to our podcast and to the Haymarket Books YouTube channel, where events like this one are hosted live. And don't forget to check out haymarketbooks.org.